Let's pray. Almighty God, we ask that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would touch us. Touch us with the scripture that will be read in a few moments, and touch us with these words. May we be changed. May we know that love came down at Christmas. Amen. Do y'all know what love looks like? If I had to ask each of you, if you didn't know I was going to ask you that question, and I said, what does love look like? Most of us, even me, being the intellectual giant that I am, I've had a week to think about it, and every time I start thinking about what does love look like, and I try to verbalize it, my sentences have other words in there like, you know, or I don't know. Because when you start thinking about love, we figure out that love can look a lot of different ways. When some of you were in high school and that popular song came out, Love is a Many Splendored Thing, some of you were in love in high school when that came out in 1964. But we know that love is very multifaceted, like a diamond. Nothing says I love you like a diamond. At least that's what the local jewelry store says. And many wives and fiancés. What does love look like? Sometimes it's hard to describe, but we can tell what love is not, can't we? I don't know what that was, but that's not love. But by the same token, it might be hard to explain, but we know it when we see it. There's times where a wink and a smile can communicate love better than words, right? Sometimes I love you is all there is to hear. There are times in our lives that we might have had incidences and controversies and things happen in our lives with someone else where we believe the bridge between us and our relationship has been destroyed beyond repair, and then God does something in that relationship and pulls it back together, and words that you would never believe you would ever hear come out of your mouth or the other person's mouth come out, and you say, I love you. And it touches a part of you that you never thought would be touched again. What does love look like? What does it look like? Our scripture this morning doesn't come from the first couple of chapters of Matthew or the first couple of chapters of Luke. It comes from the 14th chapter of John. A strange place. Because it's in the 13th through the 17th verses that we hear the upper room experience in John with Jesus and his disciples. So here now, John 14:21-24. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. And then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. The 13th chapter of John. begins the upper room. We learn that all power, all authority has been given to Jesus. He knows the end from the beginning. He looks around. Other gospels tell us that he sent two other disciples to prepare the room and for the Seder meal, the Passover. Apparently, they got the right caterer. They secured the room. Everything was in order. Jesus is looking around. Looks okay. Everybody is doing what they're supposed to be doing. And then he looks, and everybody's dirty. This can't be. He knows that just a little few minutes before, the disciples had been arguing about who was the greatest. I don't know what standard they were using, but they were using some standard of what is the greatest, and they were having that argument, and then Jesus settles the score. He takes off his sport coat, his outer garment, he wraps a towel around his waist, and he does the unthinkable. He becomes the servant and not the host. And he washes his disciples' feet. This is my third church. I have talked one church one Maundy Thursday into having a foot washing. It took months to talk them into it. Because this is what they said, which would have been said at my second church. It would be the same thing that you would say. Nobody's going to wash my feet. I know what my feet look like. I'm not letting anybody wash my feet. I know what my feet look like, and I'm not washing anybody else's feet. So there. That's for them other people who are Christians. That's for those other denominations. You know, the ones that dance in the aisles. That's not us. We're too good to let somebody wash my feet. Yet those same people can go spend $50 for a pedicure. They can go to Heavenly Foot Massage, spend an hour of somebody rubbing their feet and legs. But we cannot allow somebody to wash our feet. What does love look like? It looks like somebody washing somebody else's feet. It might look like somebody washing somebody else's feet who cannot wash their own feet. What does love look like? A month or so ago, I was back home in Thompson, and I ran across a friend that used to work at the bank with June, and we were just talking. He was going one way in a golf cart, and I was going the other way in a golf cart, and we ran into each other and started talking, and he was talking about his wife. And he said, "My wife took care of me unconditionally for 50 years. The least I can do is take care of her for the last four. What does love look like? Unconditional love. But then Jesus gets to the Seder meal, and everything in the Seder meal means something. Everything you eat, it has a tie back to the Exodus. Everything is said in a traditional way. What makes this night so different than all the rest? And they go through the story of being delivered from slavery in Egypt. And then Jesus breaks away from the tradition and takes a piece, a loaf of bread. He blesses it and breaks it. He says, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when they finished the supper, he took the last glass, the last chalice of wine, and he lifted it up and he blessed it and gave it to his disciples, all of them. Judas, who betrayed him, Peter, who denied him, and the rest of them who ran and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this in remembrance of me." And less than 24 hours later, his disciples in the world saw what love looks like when he died on a cross, and they saw his body broken and his blood come forth. What does love look like? What does love look like? Hard to tell. There was a time in my life, and it still is, depending on what day it is, where I would tell my wife I love her a lot and then didn't. And then one day I heard those painful words, "Don't tell me you love me. Show me." I don't like talking about love in a sermon, because I'm reminded of all the ways that I fail at loving the people I'm supposed to love. Some of those people I love because I have an affection toward them. I love y'all. I have an affection and affinity towards you, but I don't love you the way I'm supposed to love you, and I am confronted with my sinfulness in that. And so we wonder about that. There are sometimes, like in our video with the innkeeper's son, when we think we know all the answers about what love looks like. My dad cannot read, and I have to read for him, so I must be smarter, wiser, and all those things. I can tell you how we can love the people who are coming to Bethlehem. We can use them to make more money. That's what love looked like to that child, that son. Didn't it? And then the father, he did what really shows what love looks like. He made room. He made room. And that's what Christmas is all about. It's taking enough time in the midst of our busy season of artificial Christmas that started the day after Halloween, and making enough time for Jesus to come into our life, to experience the love that came down at Christmas, but also for God to experience our love for Him. Making space for Jesus. Jesus said, "If you have my commands and you do them, you love me. But if you don't do what I command, you don't love me." How many of us say, it's so easy to sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so." But how many of us can make room enough to sing, "I love Jesus," and it be more than just words or talk this cheap? You see, for us to change the world, we've got to make room for Jesus in our lives, so that we can experience His love for us and our love for Him. It means that we might need to leave space in our room, make room in our lives, so that the people who don't know Jesus will experience it too. And until we make room, there are a lot of people who will never know what love really looks like. We'll never know the love that Christ has for them and the love that Christ has for the world. My prayer for me and my prayer for you as individuals and collectively is that some way, somehow, we will begin to make room in our lives for Christ, so that we pray more, we read more, we make room for other people in our lives to hold us accountable, so that we too might be held accountable to be more loving, more considerate, growing in our faith, growing in our grace, and sharing the light of Christ. The question is, when Jesus comes down at Christmas, when love comes down at Christmas, do we have enough room to experience it? Let us pray. Almighty God, may we be like the innkeeper to make room. And in making room for Jesus in our lives and the love of Christ in our lives, may others be able to witness his majesty, his love, and his glory. We ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen.